Let's sing.
We waited for this day, been gathered in your name, calling out to you. Glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. Your love is we're here. Your love is we're singing.
Come on.
Open up the heavens, we want to see it. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart.
Well, good evening. Hey, Steve, do you care to do our lights on the side parts there? Thank you. Well, good evening. I want to welcome those of you who are watching with us online there. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have all those who are here in person. I'm just switching over to Facebook on my phone here so I can see when you make any comments there for any prayer requests that we may have. So that I can follow along there. But I want to welcome those who are on our phone live streaming there also. Thank you for being there. If you're on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us. So do all those things. Make any prayer requests that you have over on Facebook. That's what we'll be looking at for the live here. You can share it on, do it in, on any one of those other platforms. We just won't see it for the live. You can call the church office tomorrow. We'll be glad to take that down and get that on the next prayer list. But want to encourage you to take the time to do that. And again, thank you for listening on our phone live streaming. If you do have access to our church website there at home, want to encourage you to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com, go to not the far right-hand side, but just a couple of tabs over to the info tab. That's where you can download the worship bulletin, the children's worship bulletins, which I don't have a sample of in my hand. They're right there over here to the right in the windowsill. They're also under that info tab. So I want to encourage you to take the time to get those downloaded. And then right underneath that that info tab also is your prayer list. So be sure to get that downloaded at home so you can follow along with our prayer list. If you need those in person or somebody comes in later, be sure to get one. They're on the front pew down here at the front. So be sure to grab one of those. And again, while you're there on the church website, go to that far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do your online giving there. You can do that in person online. You can do that in the envelopes that are in front of you in the pews. And so I want to encourage you to take the time to do that. We've got a few things coming up that I need to make sure to mention to you again to keep you aware of. We've got our lemonade stand fundraiser for the Isaiah 117 house. I want to encourage you to sign up for that. We've got almost all those slots signed up for, but if you want to bring some lemonade, some cookies, please see Pastor Matt. Sign up on that sheet. There's slots for 1 to 2 o'clock, 3 to 4 o'clock, and 4 to 5 o'clock. And that's going to be on July the 18th. So that's coming up here in just a couple of more days. Sign up on that if you haven't done that yet. I want to encourage you to keep remembering us in prayer for the Calgary mission trip that we're doing. This leaving on this Saturday, coming back the next Saturday, and then another group will be leaving next Saturday and coming back the following Saturday. We mentioned this Sunday that we have had some little bit of things there. We have to be flexible as things transpire at different times and different ways and stuff. So we have four sites that were planned to do children's club, like almost like a mini PBS, if you will, or like backyard Bible clubs. We had four of those. Three of those fell through. One of those is still in place. That's on the week that I'll be going, and so we'll be doing that in the afternoon. But in the morning times, they partnered us with another church that's helping. So we're just going to be helping that group. We won't have to really teach or any of those things. So pray for us as we try to be flexible with all the needs that may come up there. And we know that God will have us exactly where we need to be at the right times. Don't forget that this Sunday is the last Sunday to bring the crayons for the Tullahoma Utility or Housing Authority, not Utility Authority, but Housing Authority, as they're collecting the crayons, packs of 8, 16, 24 count. Those are for the back to school bash, and want to encourage you to get those here Sunday. They will be picking those up on Monday, so if you bring them after that, you'll have to take them to them down here on Cedar Lane. And so hopefully you can get those here this Sunday. And then the following Sunday, don't forget that we've got the 75th anniversary coming up, and that Saturday before, we've got the Providence Church choir that's going to be coming. They're going to be singing at 6 o'clock. I probably won't be here for that because I've finally got my itinerary and won't be back in time to get here for that. But Pastor Matt's going to welcome everybody for that. So I want to encourage you to come. It's going to be a wonderful blessing that you're going to receive from that, as they're going to be singing a variety of songs from sacred music to anthems to spirituals. You're going to be blessed by their singing. And then also on the 75th anniversary service there, that Brother Wayne Wester is going to be preaching that morning. And then later that afternoon, we're going to be having a get-together, cookout there. We're going to have hamburgers, hot dogs, the fixins, chips, baked beans, potato salad, water, tea, lemonade, and ice cream toppings. All that's going to be provided by the church. All we're looking for you to sign up to do to help is with the cooking, which I think we just about have that covered, or helping to serve. And then we're just asking you to bring homemade ice cream. That's what we're asking you to bring, and if we have enough of those, we may turn it into a little competition there. So I want to encourage you to bring your homemade ice cream for that fellowship get together that we're going to have. Also, don't forget that Sunday is the last day to download your pictures from the church directory photo ordering website that we gave you the link for when you received that card when we did our directories. Sunday will be the last Sunday that you can download it from that website. We have all those pictures, so it's not like you won't ever get those pictures again. We'll have all those pictures here at the church on our systems here internally. You just won't be able to order them from the online website anymore after that date. You can still get those copies from us here at the church. If you need any help with that, please contact the church office. But there's no charge for you to download them there from that website. The only charge is if you order any pictures from that. And then also don't forget, we're still collecting for the disaster relief response. We know that Texas is one of those areas right now that is needing some help. And one of the things we're putting together is personal hygiene items. And so you'll see the list there on your screen, the brushes, combs, deodorant, washcloths, toothbrushes, all those other things. You can, if you want to make it just a financial donation, you can do that at the Tennessee Baptist Convention website, tnbaptist.org. On there, click the link for disaster relief, and it'll take you to their website where you can do that. Or you can send a check to the Tennessee Baptist Convention. In the memo, put disaster relief, bank lockbox service, post office box 306-339 Nashville, Tennessee 37230. You can see that on your screen there. Be sure to do that if you want to support the disaster relief response there financially through that resource that we have there. But you can help us by collecting any of those items. We've got some buckets out here in the hallway that we're collecting those things in, so you can just drop them in the bucket that has that particular item listed on it. I think that's all that I have in the way of announcements. I think you can go ahead and shut all our lights on there. All right. That's all I have in the way of announcements. We've got a song that we're going to be singing this evening. It's, you may be thinking, why are we singing Christmas? You've heard of Christmas in July, haven't you? It goes along with our message tonight. This song was written, as you'll notice on the page there, on page 87 in your hymn books, it was written by Isaac Watts. It was not originally written as a Christmas hymn. It has become a Christmas hymn to us because it talks about Christ's birth. It talks about all that he came to do. But it was originally written about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so that's what the song is really emphasizing and talking about from Isaac Watts' perspective as he wrote this song. And that's going to play into what we have in our message topic tonight. So, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Would you stand as we sing our hymn tonight? Join us there online. Seated. Thank you so much. You'll notice there in the words of that song, just to kind of point out a little bit there that'll go along with our message, he says in verse 3, no more let sins and sorrows grow. That doesn't happen until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, hopefully at home you've had that opportunity to get your prayer list downloaded there from online. If you haven't, go ahead and take that time to do that. It's under the info tab at HighlandBaptistChurch.com. I've also got to pull up a prayer request on my phone. Maybe it's on my iPad. All right, so as you take a look at your prayer list, hopefully you've gotten those in person here also. You'll notice we'll just go on down our list here on the Highland Baptist Church family side. We have Carolyn and S.W. Stone, and please stop me if you have any updates on anybody there, of anything that's changed or any updates you want to share. We have Arthur Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, and if you're at home and you know any of these and need to give us an update, please do that too. Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Jewel Farrell, Bill. Okay, and that's on Jewel Farrell. For those of you at home, she's going to see the doctor tomorrow, so keep her in prayer as she goes to do that. Remember Bill Warren? Rick German has an upcoming surgery, so keep him in your prayers. Miss Kay Williams, doing okay, has some good days, bad days. Remember Amy Jackson, she had her lung biopsy this morning. She's back at home resting. We'll be out of the office tomorrow. Miss Pat will be in the office tomorrow, and then she hopes to be back on Friday. Won't know the results from that lung biopsy until Monday. So continue to keep her in your prayers as she recovers from her biopsy. Remember George Duncan? Yeah, Roger was agreeing with that too, that he's doing good. So, Ken Tatum, the last we had was Sunday from Diane. He had some good markers on some of his blood tests, and so we praise the Lord for that. She said that the oncology last Wednesday showed critical lab numbers all going the right direction. The doctor was very happy, and he's even gained a couple of pounds since his last visit. So we praise the Lord for that. Keep Miss Diane Tatum in your prayers also. Linda Miller continues to have some issues with her blood pressure. Leanne Wells had her knee replacement surgery and is doing pretty well from that. She's doing the therapy she needs to do, from what I understand, and that early therapy is helping quite a bit for her, so we just praise the Lord. Still some needs there, so keep her in your prayers. I remember Gordon Jackson, who's recovering at home. Brother Al Pender, and that should say recovering, not recosering, however you spell that. There's a misspelling there. But he is recovering at home. He actually was in the hospital a couple of days ago and is doing better back at home, but had a UTI, if I'm correct. So they put his surgery off that we had listed there where he was going to have the pacemaker put in. So they put that off. So keep him in your prayers, as they will still need to address that at some point. Miss Cindy Ingram. Okay, she had her heart surgery. She was in the hospital and was still there Monday, so wasn't sure when she would get to come home, but she did good through her surgery. Miss Kay Fox, she did have a stent put in and was here this past Sunday.
She fell on Monday.
Oh, did she? Okay. So remember Miss Kay, as she did fall at home the other day. So keep her in prayer. She's recovering. Suzanne Barton had surgery this morning on her esophagus area. They were doing some things there because of acid reflux. They weren't able to do everything they wanted to do, but they did a lot of good things there. And the doctor was very positive, very hopeful with what he saw from the surgery there. And so they were looking. It was a good outcome from her surgery. So just keep her in your prayers. She'll be in there at least, I believe, through this evening, and then maybe go home tomorrow. So keep her in your prayers. Any others on our Highland Baptist Church family? Okay, David Hess. going to North Carolina to play baseball. Okay. We have one that's related to a church member. It's on the other side, so we'll get to it in just a moment. No, she was at Vanderbilt in Nashville. Any others? Okay, and that prayer request was about Bobby Farrell, had some skin places removed, and everything seems to have turned out good for that so far, so keep him in your prayers. Any other on our Highland Baptist Church family? All right, as you look over to the friends and family side, we have the people of Ukraine, the people of Israel. Do remember the Calgary Mission Partnership. Remember our team that'll be leaving on Saturday. Remember the Meredith family as they're getting ready at the end of this month to head back to Moldova. Pray for the kids, especially. You've seen their prayer requests in the bulletin each Sunday there. Remember Katie Jo Bailey in your prayers, Sarah Jernigan, Buddy Saunders, Mamie Thompson, Ryan Bond, Yvonne Ortiz, Kim Tucker, Charles Miller, Andy Taylor, Miss Kay Goff. She still has her, will continue to decline with her dementia, so continue to keep her in your prayers. The Ray family, Crystal Schroyer, Cody Kohler, Miss Barbara Prince, and then this one, we have it listed at the bottom as well as here. We have Mary Leibig, Linda's mother. Continue to remember her in prayer, but remember Linda's family with the passing of her father, Glenn Leibig. The funeral is going to be in Dayton at the Dayton Funeral Home on this Saturday, July the 19th. From 1 to 3 will be the visitation. 3 will be the funeral with military honors with the burial following the funeral. And so again, that's Glenn Leibig at Vanderwall Funeral Home in Dayton, Tennessee. The funeral on Saturday on July 19th at 1 to 3 for the visitation, 3 o'clock for the funeral with military honors and the burial following the funeral. So just wanted to give you that update. Again, that's at Vanderwall Funeral Home in Dayton, Tennessee. So you can look that up and Google that, and you'll see the obituary there on that website. So remember Pat and Carrie Robinson, Delilah and Callahan Garmany, Virginia Counts, Jimmy Hasty. Remember our music search committee. Just continue to pray for them. Pray for Jack Young, Tom Watson, Kinsley Williams. The update on Phil Jones is he is at home now. He's recovering at home, so we praise the Lord for that. Yeah, still has issues, so that's why we have him on there still. Of course, we've already mentioned the family of Glenn Leibig. Also want to remember Rhonda Morris. She's got another upcoming surgery. They had done a scan and found a spot on her, and so they're doing another surgery on her upcoming, so keep her in your prayers. And then I was given one earlier. If I say this incorrectly, correct me. It's John Sakic. Sakic. John Sakic. He fell, broke some bones. So keep him in your prayers. That's John Sakic. 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 John Sakic. And then Ella Fanning. Ella Fanning, who has cancer. So those two, if you would add those to the friends and family side, John Sakic, who broke some, had a fall and broke some bones, and Ella Fanning, who has cancer. Any others for the friends and family side? All right, on the nursing home assisted living list, we have Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Beverly Daniels at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home, and Miss Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg Nursing Home. Brother Mike and Miss Reba were not able to be here tonight. One of the girls had some water issues at their house, and so they had to go up there to help with that. So. All right, and so that's an update on Hoyt Farrell there. He had cataract surgery on Monday, and everything went well with that, and he'll have another one scheduled in another couple of weeks, two or three weeks. So thank you for that. Anybody else? I don't see any on Facebook there. Again, if you have any and you're watching online, please go over to Facebook and give us those comments there, or you can call the church office tomorrow and we'll be glad to take that request. All right, well, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into our Bible study tonight. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for who you are, and thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before your throne of grace with confidence, with power, knowing, God, that you are in control. Lord, that you will hear our prayers if we come in all humility and repentance of our sins. Lord, we don't want anything to hinder our prayers with you, and so we confess our sins. We ask you to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of our sins based on your word that has told us if we regard iniquity, if we regard sin, hold on to that sin in our hearts and our lives, and we do not repent when we pray, you will not hear from heaven. And so we don't want anything, Lord, to hinder our prayers with you tonight. We want to have effectual, fervent prayers. We want to have powerful prayers. We're interceding, Lord, on behalf of many people. And we just want to ask, Lord, in a mighty way, that you would divinely intervene in these individuals' lives. Lord, we pray that as we're praying for physical issues mostly, Father, we know that there are many other needs that go along with these, and some of those needs that are even more important, especially for those who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior that may be on this list. We pray, God, that whatever situation they're going through, Lord, that there would be nowhere else for them to look to for hope but in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll bring people across their path to point them to Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll have your hand upon them to bless them, Lord, to bring them to faith in Christ, and then, Lord, to use their witness of salvation to people around them, Lord, that they too might be impacted by that testimony. I pray for many who are on these lists who do know Christ as Lord and Savior. And Lord, as we're uplifting them in prayer, I pray not only for them, but for your name's sake, Lord, that as you bring healing to their bodies, may it be a testimony and a praise, a witness from us of your powerful hand at work, that not only can you heal people of their physical illnesses, you can heal, most importantly, of the spiritual illness of our sin. And so, Father, we pray that you would use these individuals and just give them strength to keep pressing forward one moment at a time, one day at a time. We know, God, that it may not be in your will for some of these to have that healing yet. But Father, we pray that even as they're going through these trials and difficulties, you would use even that as they persevere, as they remain faithful and steadfast. Lord, surround them with your grace. Give them strength one day at a time, one moment at a time, to live in the truth of your word, to stand, Lord, on the promises of your word, knowing, Lord, that it's by faith that we're to live as believers. And I pray, God, that you will empower them by the power of the Holy Spirit to be all that you would have them to be, to do all that you would have them to do, to even, Lord, if it means that this is their last days on this earth, Lord, that even in death they would bring glory to your precious name. Father, we just pray for your holy, righteous hand to be upon each one of these individuals. We pray that you would intercede and that you would bring the healing they need. Father, just meet every need that they have, whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether there's relationship issues. Father, whatever the other needs may be there, we know that your grace is sufficient. So pour out your grace upon them. Surround them with your love, Lord, that none of us deserve. And Father, I pray that you will make yourself known to them in a powerful way. Give them, Lord, a peace that passes all understanding in their hearts as they trust in you one day at a time. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, for those who have made decisions for faith in Christ in these last weeks, that you'll continue, Lord, to encourage them in their walk with you, especially as we'll be baptizing one in a couple of weeks. Father, I pray that you'll just continue to walk with those children and walk with those adults who have joined our church and help them, Lord, to be faithful in your kingdom work through this body of believers. Lord, reaching others with the gospel and seeing many people who have received Christ disciple. Father, we pray for our kids who are not here from Awana, We just pray, God, as they're experiencing the last few weeks of summer break, Father, that you will help them to have a good time, help them to be protected and safe, to bring them back as we come back for Awana at the end of August with our kickoff and then our regular program in September. And Father, I pray that you'll continue to lay upon people's hearts to be a part of that ministry, to be workers in that ministry. What a great blessing that is. And there are so many ways that we can be involved. So I pray, God, that you will lead us in our hearts about how to participate in the ministry of Awana with our kids. And Father, we just pray that this will be an even greater year than years before as we reach more kids with the gospel, as we reach their families, as they become a part of your kingdom work here through Highland also. Father, we pray for our youth who are meeting tonight studying your word. I just pray, God, that you will give them a hunger to know you more fully in their lives, to live more faithfully in their walk with you. And Father, I pray that they will praise your name, that they would be raised up, Lord, as a mighty army, declaring the glories of you, the Almighty God. And Father, I pray they'll make the name of Jesus known to their friends, to their peers, to the culture around us as they seek to walk with you faithfully each and every day. Father, we pray that you would be with us tonight as we come to study your word in the book of Isaiah. Once again, what a wonderful chapter this is, Lord, that we're looking at tonight. I pray, God, that you will just make your word alive and powerful to us. Help us, Lord, to see, to hear, and to respond to the invitation that you're giving to us here in Isaiah 55. Father, I pray that this would be a powerful word from your word to encourage believers and also as a call to salvation for those who may not be saved. So, Father, as people are watching online, I pray they'll share this with their friends, Lord, that they may also hear the message of the gospel here in the book of Isaiah. And us as believers tonight, I pray, Lord, that we will be see the application that we need to make in our hearts and our lives to remain faithful with you. So bless your word tonight in a powerful way. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, as we said, turn to the book of Isaiah. If you find the book of Psalms, just turn over a few books and you'll be at Isaiah. Isaiah is a long book in the Old Testament. It has 66 chapters. And we are getting closer and closer to the end. Here as we're in chapter 55. The message, as I've said already, is entitled The Invitation of God, and you're going to see why that is, as you're going to see the invitation begins right there in verse 1. So just imagine standing in the aftermath of a disaster. We've seen many disasters over these last weeks in Texas, in North Carolina, again in Texas, in Florida, in other places around this world. We know that there was an earthquake today in Alaska. There's tsunami alerts along that coastal area of Alaska. So we know the aftermath of disaster. So imagine standing in the aftermath of a disaster, homes in ruin, hearts that are broken, hope that is fading, and suddenly out of the midst of all of that, a voice calls out, "Come, find life, find joy, find me." Now that might seem to be the oddest place to have an invitation like that. I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I'm distraught, hope is fading. But you're going to find out that this chapter, Isaiah chapter 55, is one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. It's a chapter that echoes with the heart of God calling out to his people, calling out to you tonight, come, come. Isaiah 55 is God's open invitation to every soul. It's a call that echoes across time. It invites the thirsty. It invites the weary. It invites the wayward to find life in him. One of the things you need to understand here is that this is not a if you want to, kind of invitation.
This is a command coming from God. So it's not a whisper, it's a divine command that's echoing through the ages to the thirsty, to the broken, to the lost, to find life, joy, and satisfaction in Jesus Christ. In this chapter, we're going to see the depths of God's invitation. We're going to see the power of His Word. And we're also going to see the transformation that He promises to all who will respond. So notice, first of all, the invitation to come. The invitation to come. Notice verse 1. Verse 1 says, there's the invitation, come. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So notice the very first thing about this invitation here. This passage begins with an invitation that is both universal and also personal. Come, everyone who thirsts. This is not a call to the wealthy. This is not a call to the righteous. This is not a call to the self-sufficient. It's a call to the thirsty, to the needy, to those whose souls are dry. So you can kind of picture here, if you would, a bustling city street. Screens are flashing with ads promising happiness, new phones, perfect vacations, social media fame. You can chase all those things if you want, but all of those things will leave you empty every time. It'd be like drinking salt water in the midst of a desert. That is the picture of the human condition. We're all thirsty for meaning. We're all thirsty for love in our lives. We're thirsty for purpose. And God's voice breaks through all the clutter of this world and says to us tonight, come, everyone who thirsts. It's the picture here of God's glory that is drawing us like a sunrise. He's inviting us, calling us to Himself, offering what we could never earn by our good works. Notice the problem of our thirst in verse 2. Notice in verse 2 he says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. You know, we all thirst for something, love, purpose, satisfaction, and yet verse 2 asks, as we see there, why do we spend money for that which is not bread and labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Why do we keep doing that in our lives? We chase after wealth, we chase after status, we chase after fleeting pleasures, but all of those things, every single time, leave us empty. You think about things like the social media platforms that are out there. 2010, a tech engineer named Kevin Streisam launched Instagram. It's a popular platform that promised connection for people. But as people began to use it, and as people still use it today, it leaves users often chasing likes and validation. And even when you get more likes, and even when you get that validation, many times it leaves you only feeling emptier. You see on Instagram a facade of what the good is. You never see all those bad things that are happening in life. People always post the good things. I know, but if I post things, I'm posting food, the good things. And so I'm not posting about the fat that I'm gaining from the food. Look how much weight I'm gaining and those kind of things. We don't want to talk about the negative things. We only want to talk about the positive, and that's what we accentuate on platforms like Instagram. And so notice, only God can satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. And that's why he says, why are you doing so much to gain things that are going to give you so little satisfaction? It might be for a moment, but that satisfaction is fleeting. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. The satisfaction you have in God remains steadfast forever. Notice also, not only the problem of our thirst, notice that God has an answer for us, the gift of grace. Verse 3 says, incline your ear, and here's that word again, come, the invitation, come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I make him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Verse 5, behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. What is verse 5 talking about? That ought to stand out very strong to us as New Testament believers. That's who it's talking about. It's talking about us. It's talking about Gentiles. He's writing this to the Jewish people, speaking to the Jewish people, and he's saying, I'm going to call a nation that you don't know, a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. But notice, as you go back to verse 3, he said there, incline your ear, come to me, hear that your soul may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love. He said in the previous verses here, notice the miracle of the price. Go back to verse 1. He says, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God offers milk and wine, joy and nourishment through grace. In other words, God's richest blessings, that of salvation and joy and eternal life, are through grace alone. He had said there in verse 1 about why do you come, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Who is the true bread? Jesus is. In fact, John 6:35 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That's in John 6:35. I don't have that on the screen, but that's in John 6:35 for you. He's the one who seals the everlasting covenant. That's what verse 3 mentions. He says, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. And that everlasting covenant for us comes through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So God's invitation here offers what no revolution could offer. It offers eternal dignity through Jesus Christ, through the free gift of grace that he offers to you. And so let me ask you this tonight. Are you thirsty? If you're thirsty for more of God, then stop laboring for the things of this world that can never satisfy. Are you chasing empty promises, chasing career, chasing status, chasing social approval? Hear God's call. His call in these five verses here is to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, who offers living water freely. He says, put down the things that can't satisfy. And when you do that, not only do you need to get rid of the things that are sinful in your life, not only do you need to turn away from the world, it's not enough just to repent of our sins. We've got to be filled with the Spirit of God, filled with his presence, drink from his grace. So come to Jesus, who says in John 7 and verse 37, he says, if anyone thirsts, what's he say? Come let him drink. Come to me and let him drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What a wonderful promise this would be to the people of Israel, who are going into a 70-year exile in Babylon, to remind them that God still cares about them. God is calling for them to come to him. And it's not only a message for them, it's a message for us that his grace is free and his provision is enough and will always be enough. All we have to do is trust in him. So that's the invitation to come. There's a problem with our thirst, but yet God makes a way through the gift of grace. Notice, secondly, in this chapter, the urgency to seek and repent. The urgency to seek and repent. Notice in verse 6, down through verse 9 here. You just imagine a rescue helicopter hovering over a flooded city. Its spotlight is piercing through the darkness. And the pilot yells out, "Now's the time. Grab the rope." When you read verse 6, that's the urgency that is given in the words of verse 6. Notice verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." There's an urgency in that verse that says you better seek him while you can find him, while he's speaking to your heart. If you're here tonight in person, you're watching online, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, don't put that off. Don't wait till some other time, because he may not be found then. You may never get another opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Call upon him, he says, while he is near. That's the urgency there. God is near to us in his word. He is bridging heaven and earth. But we need to understand that this window of opportunity will not stay open forever. There does come a time in our life, if we continue to reject the grace of God, that we cross the threshold that there's never an opportunity again. That's why he says, here's the urgency: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So notice those things in that verse. Seek God now. Seeking God, what does that mean? Well, seeking God means turning from the false guides of this world. So often we're following so many false things. The nation of Israel had been following false idols. They had been following man's view of things. And so often even today we have false guides who are leading us, whether we're looking to people who are actors or actresses, we're looking to Hollywood to be the guide for us, or we're looking to elected political leaders to be the guide for us, or influencers on social media, or ideologies, or any idols, or self-reliance, or just simply worldly wisdom. We need to turn from those things. So notice this call. It's not just a call to unbelievers. It's a call to both. It's a call to both unbelievers who need salvation. It's also a call to believers who need to daily pursue the presence of God. As believers, if you're here tonight or you're watching online and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, every single day of your life, you need to be pursuing after the Lord. You need to be spending time in the Word of God. You need to be spending time in prayer before God. You need to be spending time serving the Lord in whatever capacity that may be, in church, in some other ministry, in your family, in your neighborhood, maybe from home or wherever you might be. Even if you're in the nursing home, you can still serve God from the nursing home. You say, well, how can I do that? You can call somebody, you can write somebody, and you certainly can pray. That's a wonderful, powerful ministry that ought to be a part of our lives and a part of the church. It is the prayer ministry, praying for those that are on that prayer list, praying earnestly for them. And so you ought to be seeking the Lord every single day of your life. We need to be seeking God's presence by actively pursuing his truth. You know, the world is throwing lots of things at us, and there's so much noise in the world that sometimes we need to get apart before we come apart. We need to get alone with the Lord and make sure we're spending that time with the Lord, pursuing the Word of God through over the world's noise, spending time in prayer and through his Word, and then by our obedience. So seek God now, he says. But then notice in verse 7, there's a second aspect to this of repentance and pardon. Notice verse 7, he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way." That's repentance. That's turning away from our sin. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So not only our actions, which is our way, but also our thoughts we need to turn from. And let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So notice this verse here, again, is a command. It's a demand for us to forsake our sinful ways, to forsake our sinful thoughts. All too often, we're kind of like the husband who claims to love his wife, but we refuse to forsake another relationship. That'd be horrible. Understand that true seeking requires repentance. And repentance means I leave all of that I've been heading in this direction with, and I return the opposite direction to the Lord. So to seek God, we have to turn from our sinful actions, the ways that he's talking about, and our sinful thoughts that dishonor God. But notice the promise that he gives in verse 7. He says, forsake his way, unrighteous man, forsake the thoughts, return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Wow. His thoughts and his ways are higher than ours. That's what he goes on to say. Because we think about what he's saying there. He's saying in verse 7, the worst of the sinners, if they will return to him, if they'll repent of their sin and turn to him, he will abundantly pardon them. We think, how in the world does that happen? In fact, verse 8 goes on to tell us, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So notice, his thoughts and his ways are higher than ours, not in cruelty, but in mercy, offering a forgiveness that blows our mind. It surpasses any human understanding. Understand this about God's grace. God's grace is immeasurable. It's abundant, overflowing to us all the time, and it's immeasurable to us. His grace welcomes even the most wayward sinner to return to him. So you think of that person who in your life you think of as, man, that person, they'll never get saved. That person is so far from the Lord, they're going to die and go to hell, and they're going to split hell wide open. You've had those thoughts maybe about an individual that you think is so far from God. And yet the Word of God says that the most wayward sinner who repents of their sin and turns to him will be pardoned. You may be that person. You may feel like there's no way he could love me, but he does. You say, how do I know that? Because he already demonstrated his greatest act of love to us when he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on a cross in your place that you deserve to be dying for your sins for. He loved you that much. That's the picture of God's grace. So don't put off seeking God. If you're far from him, forsake your sinful ways and call upon the name of the Lord today. In fact, the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? It tells us that if we will believe in our heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and we believe that in our heart and we confess with our lips that Jesus is our Lord, we call upon him to be our Lord to save us from our sin, the Bible says you will be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it goes on again to repeat it and say, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're far from God, let me encourage you to forsake your sinful ways and call upon his name today. You say, well, what about me, preacher? I already know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. What is he saying to me? Understand, if you're a believer here tonight, if you're a believer watching online, you ought to be examining your heart. Are there any thoughts in your life? Are there any habits in your life that you need to abandon to pursue God fully? You, as a believer, need to trust in his abundant pardon. What a powerful word that he gives us here. The urgency to seek and repent. Then notice verse 10 and 11. The power of God's word. You know, so often we forget how powerful God's word is. Do you remember at the creation Most everything that was created, how did God create it? He spoke. He spoke the words, and he created. And that was how it was created, the power of the Word of God. So when you are looking at, when you are reading, when you hold in your hands the Word of God, you are holding God's powerful Word in your hands. Notice the power of God's Word here in verse 10. He says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven," praise God for the snow. You know, the snow is mentioned throughout the Bible. I love the snow. If you don't know that yet about me, I love the snow. We've had more snow here in Middle Tennessee than since I've been here than probably most have seen in a while. "But as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Notice there, y'all start liking snow. There's benefits from snow. He says, "They water the earth, it makes it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So it's a life-giving word. So get the picture here that he's laying before them. The people who Isaiah is speaking to would totally understand this, because in the land there of Israel, it's a desert, arid climate. Most of the area is just a bunch of sand. It's hot, it's dry. Water is a precious commodity. And so you picture a barren, dry desert village that's maybe even been scarred by war. That's where the Israelites were here at this moment. Their land has been scarred by war, from the Assyrians to the Medes, to the Persians, to the Babylonians. The Babylonians are about to take over everything and to take them into exile. The Persians are coming in behind them. And so it's been scarred by war. And yet he says, in this dry desert village that's been scarred by war, a single seed can be watered by the rare rain and snow and sprout into a vibrant plant. He says that's the same image about the Word of God. That's the power of God's Word. It's like a rocket booster, a booster rocket for your faith, igniting our confidence in the unstoppable power of God's Word. Understand that God's Word is unstoppable. It's like the rain, it's like the snow that nourishes the earth, bringing life and fulfilling His purpose. Notice a couple of things about the two truths about His Word. We said one already. It's a life-giving word. It's a life-giving word. It's like rain on a dry ground. It's like rain producing crops. God's Word goes forth and it produces spiritual life. So understand that God's Word is not just the text. It's not just the print that's on the pages of the Word of God. It's a living force that ultimately is embodied in Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh. John's Gospel in John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we see there that He is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The ultimate embodiment of the Word of God is in Jesus Christ. God's Word transforms hearts and transforms nations. What this world needs more than anything else is Jesus. Jesus can change hearts. But then notice the sovereign purpose of God's Word. God's Word, he goes on to say, he says in verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." It shall accomplish that which I purpose. Understand this, God's word never fails. In fact, you look back to 2019, in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong protests shook the city. Underground churches used the scripture to encourage and sustain believers, and proving that God's word thrives even in persecution as the church continued to grow in China. that happens every single time that you see people being persecuted for their faith in Christ. The Word of God encourages, sustains believers, and the church continues to grow, many times flourishes under those kinds of conditions. So notice this, every promise in Scripture, whether it's a promise about salvation or restoration or renewal, is alive and it's active through God's word. And he says in his word, it will come to pass. So you ought to get into God's word. You ought to trust the Bible as God's living word. You ought to let it water your soul, convict you of sin, guide you into truth. If you feel like in your life that you're just dry in your life, you feel like you're just in a desert wilderness in your life, that you need some refreshing, get into God's word, and it will water your soul. It will convict you of sin. It will guide you into truth. Trust its promises, because they are certain. And when you read it or hear it, know that God is speaking and working in you. Let it shape your thoughts and guide your steps and anchor your hope. But here's the last thing. Notice the joy of God's restoration. Verse 12 and 13. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Just imagine here, this vision of verse 12 through verse 13 is a picture of joy and peace and a renewed creation. What an outcome of responding to God's salvation. Notice the joy and peace for God's people. Those who answer God's call, he says, will go out and enjoy and be led forth in peace. It's the fruit of salvation in Christ. This joy is not a fleeting joy. It's fulfilled now in part, and when we get to heaven, will be fulfilled eternally, forever in heaven. But notice not only the joy and peace for God's people, notice the creation's renewal. Notice what happens. The mountains are going to be singing, he says. The trees are going to be clapping. It's symbolizing a new creation where thorns and briars give way to cypress and myrtle in verse 13. You remember the Fukushima disaster that happened in 2011, the massive earthquake and tsunami that severely damaged that nuclear plant. You know what happened later as things began to recover? Japan's cherry blossoms began to bloom again. What a picture, a faint picture at that, of God's promise that one day everything, no matter how bad this world may be, everything is going to be renewed for his glory. And so this transformation is a sign and a name for God's everlasting glory, pointing to that day when Jesus Christ returns to make all things new. Where does he tell us that? In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." So what's the final word for you tonight? Live in the hope of this promise. Even in the trials, God is leading you towards a future where joy overflows and creation itself celebrates his victory. Let this hope strengthen you. Let this promise fuel your faith today. Isaiah 55 is like God's megaphone, calling for the thirsty to drink, for the sinner to repent, for the weary to trust. So be reminded, God's grace is free. Doesn't cost you anything, cost him everything. His mercy is abundant, and his word is sure. And those who seek him will find mercy and pardon and joy. So whether you're far from God or whether you're walking with him, hear his voice. Come, come. Lay down those empty pursuits. Seek him while he's near. Trust his word to lead you to joy. Answer the great invitation and find life in the God who satisfies. Let me encourage you tonight, don't waste your life on what cannot satisfy. Forsake your sin, trust in Christ, and find life in the God who abundantly pardons. We ought to pray that God's word will take root in our lives like rain on the fertile ground, producing a harvest of faith and joy for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for calling us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for stirring our hearts to thirst for you alone. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to forsake our sin, to turn away from our sin, to seek your face, to trust your word. Help us, Lord, to seek you while you may be found. Help us, Lord, to forsake our sinful ways, to repent and turn away from our sin, and to trust in your abundant mercy. Lord, help us and lead us to the joy and the peace that passes all understanding, the peace of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. I hope you've received a blessing from this passage in Isaiah 55, the invitation of God, and I hope you'll respond to that invitation. We're going to be back Sunday morning at, we have Sunday school at 9:15, worship at 10:30. We'll be back online Sunday morning. We'll have service Sunday night also. That'll be by video. And then next Wednesday, we'll also, hopefully we'll have, fingers crossed, I got to do some stuff with Ben tonight, that we'll be able to do our live stream next Wednesday night from Canada to you here in Tullahoma. And so if that works, if not, we'll have video for you that Wednesday night also. So want to encourage you, be in prayer for us as we're gone, and be in prayer for the services this Sunday. Don't forget, the youth are going to be sharing this Sunday about youth camp. You're going to receive a wonderful blessing from that too. But you have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Sunday.